5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Model Moon!
The dark side of the Hoddle Moon. Immutably amazing crypto wisdom. Today, we talked to Coach K about how he got into crypto, exchange cartels, underground projects he likes, and his new project, Rubico. Like and share to gain entrance to our moon base full of moon bags on the dark side of the Hoddle Moon.
Copy. This show is proudly sponsored by Salamantech's point-of-sale devices and software. Tired of all the headaches dealing with cryptocurrency? You don't know what a private key is? You don't want to deal with exchanges? Well, if you're a business and you just want to run your business without thinking about cryptocurrency headaches, look no further than Salamantech. We provide point-of-sale software that allows you to get paid in fiat currency, that's euros, allowing your customers to pay in cryptocurrency, that's BTC, ETH, and a host of others.
Stand by.
Dark Side of the Hoddle Moon proudly uses the audio services of Eye the Sound. Beyond the amazing sound production, they've really been a sounding board, pun intended, for our show, giving us great customer support and constructive criticism and feedback. So if you want a little bit more personalized attention you're not going to get from a bigger provider, check out iThesound.com.
Hoddle Moon!
All right, and we're back with another episode of Dark Side of the Hoddle Moon, and I'm getting a message from the Dark Side of the Hoddle Moon control booth that Josh is broadcasting from the Dark Side of the Hoddle Moon today. What's the view like from up there, Josh?
Unfortunately, it's pretty terrible. I've got a cold, and I'm under the weather, so I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, Cade.
All right, and we've got an interesting guest today. His name is Joel, but we're going to call him Coach K, and... Coach K, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, thanks. Well, I've been in crypto for quite some time. I've missed quite a few entries. I was telling Josh just today, actually, kind of how I had so many people tell me to buy Bitcoin from 2010 the first time, and I thought it was kind of dumb to mine it on my computer. And then I thought it was kind of dumb in 2011 when my friend told me to buy it. And then 2013, someone was like, you should just get a little bit. So I did. And then I lost it. I didn't even think about it because it went to like 1,000 to 100. So yeah, I went through kind of like ups and downs with it. And then 2017 started. My buddy Rob, who I do our Crypto Amigos podcast with, saw him put a message on Facebook. I believe it was his, that said, like, it's going to be a great year. We're at like $800. And I was like, what? And so that was when I kind of realized, like, wait a minute, this thing could be real big. And, you know, I started getting more involved, I guess, in the industry, not just as an investor, but starting like, because I came from an education background. I was teaching in high school. And, you know, I was like, all right, man, maybe I should like kind of teach people about this because it is really confusing, even for me, and I knew a lot of stuff. So got into it then and kind of didn't look back. I started doing some free stuff on YouTube, on Facebook, actually, before YouTube, just like going to groups and doing some live feeds. And yeah, it just turned into like something that I really enjoyed. And yeah, I've been through a couple things like an ICO pool and started my own business, and yeah, just quite a few different things. There's a lot of story I could go into, but
nice. Well, how about some of the non-crypto stuff? Like, can you tell me a little bit about where you're from, what your work background is, where you're living now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of have a cool story. I was a really high level football player when I was growing up, an American football player. And so I got recruited to the United States and Canada. And I went to a really good Canadian university, Ottawa U. And so I'm from Toronto originally. So that's our city, go Raptors. I went into to become like something with kinesiology. I knew I wanted to be a teacher for very many years. So went to school to do all the stuff I needed to go to become an educator. Went to teacher's college after that. Then there was no jobs in Toronto at that time for teachers. It was really hard to get one. So my aunt, who was the dean of education, was like at a university in Canada. She was like, just go to Korea. You know, you can get some job there and there's lots of schools and it's pretty good experience for you. And I was like, cool. So I was there for like a year and 8 months. I worked in, unfortunately, worked in a Hagwon for my first year. And the second year, I worked at an international school. And then I got recruited to a school in Thailand. And I never left. It's like that movie, The Hangover. Like, it sucks you in. It doesn't let you back out.
Yeah. So you've been overseas for a while then, huh?
Yeah, 10 years coming at the end of this one. So, yeah, it's quite a few years.
Yeah, well, we all have the connection there. We've all lived in Korea, and I think Josh still lives in Korea. How is your Korean?
I've lost most of it. It's been 7.5 years, but I can introduce myself. What is it again?
Jay, Itami.
Yeah, I can't remember. I blank because I think in Thai first now.
Okay.
Like, I'm one of those people that I'm not a language person. So I've been in Thailand so long that I'm trying to think of how do I say it in Korean, and I'm actually thinking about it in Thai.
Yeah,
but it's, annyeonghaseyo.
Yeah, I had the same issue because I used to speak French okay. So when I had a few too many bottles of soju, I'm combining Korean and French, and it got a little strange. So. French.
You got some crunch going on.
Yeah, right on. Awesome.
Nice.
All right, cool. So you were into football and you just became kind of a long-term expat. Do you see yourself staying there long-term? I mean, you've been there 10 years. Do you have any plan to go back, or do you like it there?
I mean, Thailand is like, people think about Thailand when they haven't been here and they're like, oh, it's like this third world country and it's so horrible. But I live in Bangkok. It's a big city. It's like Toronto in many ways. Obviously, the language is a barrier, but, you know, people love speaking English here. They want to practice all the time. People are friendly. People are happier than they are back in Canada and the United States. Yeah. So it's just a nice, it's a different change of pace for life. Life is a little bit easier. You don't need as much money to do things. So you kind of can just like breathe and chill and work. And there's not many people pressuring you all the time. It's just kind of a different vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I come back, maybe it's hot here all the time. It's nice weather. We have nice beaches. So it's going to, and then when I was here, my second year here, I met my wife, and then we had two kids. So we have like, you know, I have a family here as well. My Thai family as well. So, you know, it's not like people don't want to come visit me. So it's nice. I really enjoy it here. I think I could definitely move back at any time, but I don't even see why you would, other than getting like really, really good frigging weed in Canada.
Yeah. Well, I know. I think doing that in Thailand can be a little dicey, but yeah, I've been to Thailand a few times myself. I love it. I actually went to the countryside to relax after living in Seoul, but yeah, great food, people, nice people, easy place to live in for sure. All right. So let's go back into the crypto. So you kind of mentioned it earlier. You kind of have a similar story to a lot of people in the space. You heard about it 2, 3, 4 times and just never got into it. I think I definitely remember hearing about it sometime in 2012, maybe earlier, on like the more of the libertarian, freedom-minded like websites and stuff like that. And like right around then I was moving to Korea and I was in Korea. I'm like, how do I buy this? I can't figure this out here. And it was like a big issue, but I got into it a few years later. And yeah, during the, you know, I was in it well before the, you know, 2016, 2017 crazy bull run. And I don't know if I was a great trader, but I felt like a genius because the market was going parabolic. So I thought I was a genius, but, you know, everyone make did. Thousands of dollars and then you lose thousands of dollars and you realize maybe I need to learn more about trading. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more about fundamentals.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting you say fundamentals because, you know, everyone that came into crypto in 2017, including myself, like, and I learned how to do technical analysis. And, you know, I've been even refining my craft and learning every – I always find that, like, no matter how good of a trader you are, you can always learn more. And it's just funny because even myself, I would say sometimes that kind of stuff, like fundamentals are all that's crypto and all this stuff. And then you really look at you really get deeper into the technical analysis and you go, wow, is it ever super accurate in crypto? And the fundamentals don't do anything. You could have someone say the worst thing about Bitcoin like we did while we were coming up on this year. And it just kept going up higher. So, I mean, it's really something quite interesting. You know, you could say there's no ETF and it would go up higher. You know, and all these things didn't really factor in. Not like Trump with Forex, where he could say like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then Forex markets go insane. They're more fundamental, I think, than crypto is. But it takes a lot of time and understanding and focusing on the charts and focusing on what's going on in the space to really start understanding that. Because, you know, fundamentals do play a role, but I just don't believe now, after years in this space and trading, that it plays as much of a role. And this is why bots really control the market, because you draw your fib charts and you're 9 times out of 10, it's going to go and touch those fibs that it should, you know. And if you're using Ichimoku, every time it goes to certain areas of support and resistance, it's doing the same thing. So I find that crypto is a really awesome space. And I think more of it for me is not the money, but the people that you meet and the stories that you get to tell with them. And, you know, it's kind of like a little family, especially when I was with Josh, when I met you, I think was in October of 2018. It was at a conference. It was pretty dead. It was in Bangkok. And then I went to a conference that I was speaker, MC, and panelist at. And there was like 100 people that showed up, and every single person was speaking. I knew them already or got really close to those people. And this is what the space kind of turned into, a little family. And then every conference I went to until the market got more bullish, even now it's still pretty dead, the conferences, but you know half the people at the conferences. Like, I'm going to Mallorca next week to speak at a conference that I'm being flown into. And they're like, I'm looking at the list of people. I'm like, I know you, and I know you, and I know you, and I know you. And I'm like, this is so cool. So yeah, we're all looking forward to getting together and having some fun. So it's a cool space to work in for sure.
Nice. Definitely. I definitely want to ask you more about TA in the crypto space, but I want to rewind a little bit. I want to know why you got into crypto. Was it you were into the tech? Were you into it to make money? Were you into it for like political, libertarian, anarcho reasons? Because everyone has a reason why they got into it.
It's a really good question. Why I got into crypto at the start was I just kept seeing my friends and other people getting scammed, like left, right, and center, and being like, why? Like, I've been scammed too, so it's not like I'm not Superman. Like, people can get scammed no matter how smart you are or whatever it is. But, you know, I kept being like, why are you getting scammed? Like, they're just emailing you and telling you something or messaging you on Telegram and you believe them, and then you send them crypto and then they don't send you any back and you're wondering what happens. And so it was more to like educate people how to use crypto, how to stop losing their crypto. You know, really at the very start was like, I'm a teacher. I was in my classroom when I did my first live feed after school. I was like, I'm going to do a live feed and like teach people this. And I'm in my classroom and draw on the board, you know. And that's how I started, with my own personal YouTube channel, like just really small. And, you know, that kind of filtered in, and I started really enjoying teaching people, and the fact that people are really respectful and they really like learning with me. And it just kind of rolled out from there. And so my first initiative was like, get people interested. If they want to be involved, make sure they're not making mistakes. And then it turned into being like, okay, personally, like, I can leave this shit job as a teacher where I have an asshole boss who's always on my neck for no reason at all. And I have to thank him, because him making my life feel so difficult. The first principal I ever had that was such a dick made my life so difficult that I started thinking like, maybe I should do something in this space, like for real. Like, it kind of was a catalyst for me to get out of teaching inside of a classroom, instead of being someone who could change a child's mind and change their future for our future. I wanted to be the person who actually changed the future for our future and my kids' future. So I kind of flipped the roles a little bit, and I was like, I'm just going to dive all in. And if it doesn't work out, you know, I'm young, I can always get back on my feet and go back teaching. I can do lots of other things. I'm sure I'll make connections with people in the space, and then that will roll out. And, you know, in the last couple of years, the connections, the people, everything that happened is just like super positive. Mm-hmm. Did I get rich? No. Is it my main goal? Not really. Honestly, money's not the money is the root of all evil. You know, Bitcoin isn't though, but I want to use, I've even talked to the guys at Almedia Research who run FTX exchange just like yesterday. I talked to Darren, and I know Sam as well. And I was just telling them like, man, once I have this now, like I said, like when I hit my first million, Then I'm using this 20% portion of that million to put all these kids in my neighborhood into schools that I see working with their moms. So I have like more goals to like make a future better for other people, because having too much money for yourself doesn't really make you happy. I've seen that several times. So that's kind of the whole picture, I guess. Nice. The whole list.
So you want to teach people how to not get scammed, and it's kind of a collective learning experience. And then obviously having a bad boss, I think that's one good thing about having a bad experience, is it's a catalyst to do something better. Sometimes you have a nice cushy job, people settle, they don't want to go for anything bigger.
Yeah. And I did for Thailand, like, man, I was working international school, like had, you know, my kids could go to school for free, all that. There's definitely like things that, you know, my wife's coming up sometimes like, you know, what the fuck, you know, like, why are you trading? I don't understand this Bitcoin thing. She knows it has value, you know, she's like, she sees that like Bitcoin has value. I made her buy some, which was awesome. And she's wanted to sell recently, and I told her she can't. I threw all the crypto we had on the Trezor. I was like, you ain't selling it. You don't know how to get it off.
Nice. I have a question about that. Is Bitcoin or cryptocurrency in general, is that popular in Thailand, or is it kind of under the radar there?
I think it's more popular with the expat community, but it's growing rapidly because the SEC got involved quite early because of the scams. And I know quite a few people, even people at the SEC and the Stock Exchange of Thailand and in the government officials, like I actually sat like two rows behind Prayut, which is the Prime Minister of Thailand, at one of his speeches. So I've had a really cool experience from that, because without crypto, that never would have happened either. And, you know, I've learned that they really want to push this industry forward, but they're going to do it in a quite centralized, non-traditional crypto way if they can. But that being said, I don't think they have the infrastructure and the resources to really enforce what they want yet. But I don't know if you guys are familiar with the exchange cartels that are happening behind everyone's backs. I've been really fortunate to be included in some conversations. Normally you wouldn't, because I guess just people trust me and like to talk to me.
Hey, but, well, that's interesting. I didn't think about going there, but if you want to share a little tidbit of what you've learned about behind the scenes, dark side of blockchain space kind of info.
It's not dark. It's just what they're doing behind some of the team members in the exchanges don't know. Like the CTOs sometimes don't even know that the G7 and these meetings that they're having and the G20 meetings that they're having were all about how do we control these people who are going to money launder and do crime. This is why OKX delisted Privacy Coin, which was kind of dumb. It's not going to stop them. And then CZ today then goes, hey, yeah, you're going to delist them. I'm going to put them in our lending platform. So there's some interesting stuff and events that happened. But what they're doing, and this includes like all the major exchanges. I'm not going to name names because it would make me look bad, but generally think about all these exchanges, about 100 of them already are signed up, and they've created tech that will, with Chainalysis, that will basically know who owns what address, what their KYC is. This is why Binance US is doing the SSN, so that they can tax you directly from your exchange account. So there's going to be a lot more centralization around crypto. And then the people that keep their crypto off of the exchanges eventually are going to have to say, hey, here's my exchange address, or here's my Trezor address, and I got this crypto from here. And if they don't like it, they won't give you they won't let you cash out. And then if you try to send it to your friend, well, that's a tainted address, so that guy can't send it seller either. And they're going to do this to basically stop any money laundering, but also it does centralize the decentralized nature of crypto. But is it all bad? No. Is it all good? No. But that's happening. Realistically, it's happening. And a lot of people have told me I'm crazy. There's DEXs, but they have ways already to do this. This is why JP Morgan, this is why Morgan Stanley, this is why Bank of America holds so many patents for crypto and blockchain tech, because they're doing this all behind your back. And that's why there's so many people investing in mining that are in banking. They're doing that because they know the future and it's going to be big, but they're going to scare a lot of people that are super cypherpunks out of it as much as they can. But on the other side of it, I have friends that are cypherpunks that don't give a shit. They're not going to sell their crypto. So it's a really cool, like when you see both sides of the story, you're like, man, you're just like, it's like, I don't know. I don't want to like be political, but it's like Israel and Palestine. Like they're never going to meet in the middle. It's just
yeah, yeah. I think that's a good line line there. I think you're right. They want to track it. They want to track all the addresses, all the payments. But will the privacy coin be able to keep up? And yeah, you're right. If it's offline on the ledger or something, and you want to cash out, you're gonna have to meet someone in a parking lot and get cash or gold bars or something. Otherwise, it's gonna you both have to be offline or something. But that's definitely interesting. I think it's coming, and I want to be a cypherpunk, but also I don't want to go to jail. So I'm in the U.S. So. Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I want to chime in and ask a question about this. And that's the FATF, you know, the Financial Action Task Force, recently has really started to clamp down on privacy coins. So you've had, you know, OKX and other exchanges delisting privacy coins. Now, one of the privacy coins that I think we both are aware of and we both like is called Zcoin, right? And Zcoin is working with PromptPay. Now, PromptPay is a Thai thing. So maybe, do you know about that? Can you expand upon that and share what PromptPay is? Because that's pretty interesting because, you know, that's cool that you can actually pay with Zcoin using PromptPay. And PromptPay is like a bank-backed system.
Yeah.
So that would be good to talk about.
Have you seen Michael's video? While he was in Thailand using PromptPay at every mall or everywhere he went, they only spent Zcoin, which was a really cool video. It's absolutely amazing because all it is a backdoor. So, projects, I've talked to a few projects. They're like, we can't burn our tokens, but I'm like, what happens if the utility of your token is to someone wants to buy something, they buy it with cash, but you guys on the back end buy it with your token, burn your token, and then give them the cash. So it's like, this is kind of how Zcoin's doing it. It's like a backdoor that connects to your banking and your Zcoin gets immediately burns your Zcoin and uses it and then turns it into cash and then you pay for something. So it's a really interesting concept. I know Ruben actually, I've sat with him at a few different conferences here as well. And Yap as well. I've met her a couple of times. So they're awesome. I really love what they're doing. I've even asked them, like, is there ways that you guys can expand on this for other people in other countries? Like there's industries like, I'm not a really big person in this industry, but I know people working in it, like in porn, that have a lot of problems with, you know, transactions. And is there a way for you guys to like somehow do it for someone else's coin where they do it? And they said, if they have PromptPay, they can do it anywhere. And so that was really interesting. And they said that, you know, all banks pretty much have it, just call it something else. And it's pretty cool because then you can spend your crypto literally anywhere. And I think that there are other wallets and things that are doing something similar to that anyways. But it's quite interesting, and I think that there's now about 2.5 million places that you can spend Zcoin in Thailand already. So it's huge.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think it's actually 5 million because I was recently speaking to Sandra about this, and pretty epic. And what PromptPay is a bank-backed payment system that is basically like WeChat payments with the QR codes where you can go and scan. And also it makes it easier for local Thais to transfer within the existing Thai banking system. So from like KBank to SCB Bank, and I'm sure there are a bunch of other banks that you use in Thailand. I've almost forgotten which bank I use. I think I use Kasikorn or something like that, I think it was called.
Yeah.
The fee for under like $200 is free, and the fee for $1,000 is 2 baht. Now, 1 baht is like $30. How much is it? $1 is 30 baht.
Like 25, 30 cents or something like that.
Yeah. So
no, it's 3 cents. Baht. 1 baht is 30 baht is $1. So it's like, it's like 3 cents for 1 baht.
Yeah. So it's going to cost just 2 baht to send $1,000 into bank in Thailand. And now they've plugged it into some of the big cryptocurrencies that are out there, especially the, I'm surprised it got through this type of legislation, frankly, with all this like Financial Action Task Force stuff going on. So I'm just wondering if it just slipped through because they were not fully aware of what was going on with it and didn't really understand how it works and thought, it's Thai, it's cool. Or it's just like, they're really embracing the technology. I wonder what your perspective is.
They're definitely embracing the tech. And I know I can never say his last name, but Prin is like super well respected. He's known as like blockchain Thailand, basically, on the Thai side. He goes and speaks everywhere. He's super pro blockchain. Now he's in the government. He works for, he doesn't work for them. He's in the party. I can't remember which party it is, the yellow shirts or the red shirts. I can't remember. He's in one of the big parties in Thailand. I think the Democratic Party of Thailand. So he's there. He's out in politics. They're pushing forward for blockchain tech. And, you know, the thing with them is even he who works, he's actually a board member of the Stock Exchange of Thailand. And even he is very big and pro about Satang Pro, which is Zcoin's exchange. I think they're doing it all right. They've got their licensing down. They're probably a money service. I don't know like in detail how they've set it up because I can't read Thai, but I think they've done it similar to like a money service business. And because it's going through banking, technically there's not much difference between that and banking, except you're just cashing out your Zcoin to bot. So I don't think that's an issue for the Financial Action Task Force. For them, it's more not having a trail of where the money comes from, because they're really focused on, which I freaking hate, is protecting people. And the reason why I use that with my quotes, protecting people, that's what governments always say that they're doing so that they can protect us, but really, you know, make more rules that shouldn't be there against us. And, you know, that's maybe the libertarian side of me or the anarchist side of me, but I believe that they're not really protecting anyone. They can say like, oh, we're protecting you from scams. No, you're not, because you have a blockchain. You could find out the people that are doing them if it's not a privacy coin, you know? And yes, privacy coins, you know, they have their issues. I'm sure that they're going to figure that out. But I've been saying this for over a year to a lot of scrutiny that privacy coins would be the first one governments go after. And I mean, when I saw this, it was like,
yeah, I mean, that's a no brainer. You can't do chain analysis if the privacy coins have good enough tech. That's for sure. Well, that's pretty interesting what's happening in the Thai crypto space. Now let's change topic here. I want to kind of hear a little bit more about TA. You know, I'm a fundamentals guy, but I also like TA. I may be half and a half, maybe more fundamentals, because to be honest, my trading, at least my short-term day trading isn't great. So, I mean, there are so many different ways of reading charts. There's Bollinger Bands, Head and Shoulders, Inverse Head and Shoulders, Bullish Rectangle, Double Bottom, Fibonacci retracements. Like, what are the chart patterns that you look for? And are you more like short-term trades, like in like the 2 to 8 hour range, or is it like over days or weeks, or how do you typically trade?
All depends on the setup, honestly. I generally use the daily and the 4 hour as my primary and secondary charts. When they have confluence, the primary chart says bullish and the secondary chart says bullish, I generally trade that. A lot of people like to counter trade the secondary trend. So if they weren't bullish, they're going to look for those pullbacks and trade those short. But I have a bot trading system that we've created called Rubico. It's going to be launching in like about a month from now. We're just going through beta testing right now, alpha beta testing. And what it does is it's kind of like Cornix. I don't know if you've ever heard of Cornix before, but we did it for algo traders. So what algo traders do is they create algorithms or scripts on TradingView, and then basically it looks at certain things, EMAs or FIB or whatever they decide to do, and they make an algorithm for it on a certain time frame. It could be short term or long term. So we developed a system for those guys, especially for the shorter term guys that don't have time to watch, because most average people don't have time to sit in front of a screen 8 to 12 hours a day, which is what you have to do to be a good trader, especially at the start. And what this algo does, it takes a professional trader who's selling his script for, let's say, $500 per month, and makes it so you can literally, we made it so our system can literally pick up alerts and buy them and sell them for you directly without you doing anything. And so you just set up the bot, you set up the system, the algo says buy, it buys for you on BitMEX or Deribit or Bittrex or Binance. And we're going to add an FTX and quite a few other exchanges as well, because it's not hard. But we're going to just do beta. We're going through beta right now, making sure it works. And so that's something that we did for noobs, for people that are noobs. And remember, the one thing that's quite funny about traders is 95% of traders lose money. 95%. And out of the 5% that make money, only 1% of them or 0.5% of them make money on day trades. So it's like When I just finished my trading course, so I'm teaching people about the Ichimoku and how to use it to basically have a one glance equilibrium and understand what you're looking at, because I understand how to teach people and a lot of traders don't. So they kind of teach you so much concepts, you miss a lot of the stuff. So I break it into one concept a day, go practice, I do tests and stuff like that. And I have my own group so people can ask questions and learn together. And really the goal for me is like taking a new trader. They can use the algo system. They can make money doing it, but teach them actually why the algo system works and how it works and what you're looking for and why you should get in and out of the market when you should get in and out of the market, and give you some skills. So that's the next side of the education that I've done. I've actually finished and completed a full crypto course as well for like the starting point as well. So it's a 30-video course. And so, yeah, I'm really focused on the education side, but then also adding value to people's lives, like giving them some ability to choose. You know, we're going to have people that I've talked to already that have like $100 a month script, and there are 4-hour to 1-day scripts. Okay. And then we also have guys that are doing short-term stuff. But for me personally, 4-hour, 1-day using the Ichimoku and using Fibonacci are the two that I really like.
All right, Josh, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I'd love to promote that course. So what's the name of the course, and do you have an affiliate link that we can put in the description below?
Well, like I said, I just finished it. It's going through the editing right now. Like today was the last video that I finished for the course. So it will be – I'll give you guys the course link. It's going to be I'm going to include the crypto course for free so they get both. So if they don't understand crypto before they start trading crypto, they understand how to actually trade and how to understand how to keep their crypto safe. So we're going to combine those two together, and I'll get you that for sure. There'll be ref links and stuff, but it's not complete yet. I have to just edit it. And then I've already made all the quizzes, and I'm making a booklet for people as they go through, just like a teacher would, where they have chart setups and they have to point out if it's a good setup or a bad setup and why, and then I'm giving them a journal as well.
Nice.
Yeah, that's interesting. You've done a lot of work on that. You've done a lot of work. So I'm curious, which platform are you going to do? So are you going to use are you going to use Teachable, like Podia? Have you got like
a platform?
You got Thinking? Okay, we're launching it on your own.
Direct to our own platform. So I'm also thinking it took me about 2.5 months to write down the written content. And right now, on the last day of the course, I looked at all the slides that we could turn it into a PDF. It's 297 pages. So it's quite a detailed course. And the thing is, I did it in a way that you could just buy a book for like $15, $20 and then just read it and try to learn on your own. But the video is so much better because you have someone walking you through and explaining everything. And, you know, I stop you, you know, because most people, the reason why they don't learn is try to do too much too fast. So take your time, you know, and traders, it takes you have to lose to win a lot of the time. So I'm trying to get people the mindset of like, take your time. You don't need to make $1 million tomorrow. Learn how to do risk management first. Because that's what everyone doesn't do, and then they get wrecked super bad. Like, I'm sure you guys have seen the memes now at this point, the wrecked memes.
Yeah.
And it always makes me sad. I mean, I've done this mistake. I've nuked an account before too. But like the second you learn risk management, if you get wrecked, you lose what? Like 1% of your whole trading pot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's interesting. You've got a lot of stuff going on there. I've heard about that stat before, only 5% of traders make any money, and you broke it down that 5% into an even smaller pie. What percentage of that pie is practices my trading technique? It's pretty complicated. It's called long-term HODL investing.
That's a great technique, honestly. And the problem is what are you holding long-term? Are you holding something like Bitcoin? Or are you holding something like a promise that someone said they would do something and now they're gone and their community's dead?
Yeah. Bitcoin. And like I mentioned before we hopped on, I have a little moon bag of Cardano. But in all seriousness, I would like to learn more about trading. So it sounds like you've got a lot of things going. You've got a class. You've got this Rubico and Trading Bot. Is one of these related to the Athena botnet, or is that something that can be upgraded?
I'll explain that. So how we first started, this is kind of funny because when Cornix came out, we had already developed something exactly like Cornix, and we believe that someone in our beta testing actually created Cornix and got to market faster than we did.
So
and
is Cornix another trading bot? Just to clarify.
Cornix is a trading bot. Like if you follow a trading group, you can automate through the trading group. It's only through Telegram. You don't have a website interface. It's clunky, and it works kind of for some people, but most people lose money using it. What we wanted to do is create something really easy to use. So we started with the Telegram idea, and then we realized that that sucks because when you use a Telegram group, you know, you can't check your trades easily. It's clunky and your buttons suck. And so we built it into an online platform where you log in, you see all your trades on a beautiful chart. You can use TradingView. You can chart your trade. You can open a trade and put in trailing stop losses, and you can put in a profit trail as well. So your trade doesn't just stop where it stops. It can continue getting more, especially if it's breaking out. So we built it like that. And then we realized when the market got so bearish, we were focused only on Binance. The market got bearish, and everything was just kept going down, and we couldn't short the market with our system. So that's why we built Rubico. And the idea now is to turn Athena into a platform where you can come on, you can plug in your algorithm, or you can plug into ours, and it will automate that with the cloud. So what we've created now is more for like traders and, you know, some noobs that want to learn, but we also are going to put it on the cloud. So you just kind of pick the person's algo, you pay the algo, we pay the algo trader directly. They give you access, and then basically, you know, it's free game. It just literally the indicator said buy. It'll be like doop on Burbit, for example, it'll be like boop. It'll buy for you. And then, you know, when the algo says that it should sell, it'll go boop and it will sell for you. But we also give the customers the ability to sell on their own. So they can just click close the trade and it closes automatically.
Nice. So you kind of have the option, because I know some bots, I've always been like to be in control of the trades myself, but I know some bots, they just show signals and you have the option of taking the trade or not, or it can be completely automated. Is that the same thing here? You have an option of either or with a Rubico. Is that your plan?
Rubico is like an algorithm. So think about it like this. We have a guy right now who worked at JP Morgan. We have another guy who worked at Morgan Stanley. We have another guy who worked with those two guys. I can't remember where he worked, but those three guys right now are like creating algos. We also have other algo creators in the industry that people have been following that I've been using personally and just crushing it. Like making 18% on Bitcoin in a month, you 10x that, you make 180% a month, and it's automated. So you pay your fees of like maybe 10% of that to BitMEX, and you're just laughing because you're not doing anything. You're literally sitting there. You're at work, you hear doop, you look at, you're like, oh sweet, it bought. Then you hear doop again, you're like, oh sweet, what did it do? Oh, went 0.05 Bitcoin, sweet, that was easy. It didn't do anything, and just like let it run. Nice. So that's the cool part about it, is we wanted to make it so that, you know, someone like yourself who doesn't have time or doesn't want to just sit in front of a screen, you know, you can put just an algo on that already has back tested results, that you can see what everything, like all the back tested, what pairs you should do, all that. So we're making it. The problem with TradingView itself is that there's a million indicators and none of them are vetted and a lot of them are scams. We wanted to create a marketplace for people that actually are legit to give us their algos, let us forward test them with actual proof that they work and not just give the back testing, and then give it to the people that come onto our platform and see this is an algo that makes 8% per month. It's a low frequency trading algo, but I can make 8% a month. I could put 5x on that and make 40% on average. Maybe some months you'll make 10, or maybe sometimes you'll lose. It's always a possibility, but our algo traders, we make sure that they actually update their algos as well. So, you know, you have to constantly tweak. Go ahead.
So is this a marketplace for script makers? Yeah. So I've got a few friends that are doing exactly this and they don't have the place to sell their scripts. So this exactly would be a perfect fit.
Yeah, man.
So I'm going to be introducing some people after this call and
sounds great.
You know, that'd be awesome. All right, cool. Yeah.
And that idea that we came with, man, because what we realized in this space, there's just so much shit. And you need to kind of be able to have a place where you know it's not crap. And what's better to show people? Okay, you see all these groups and they have all these results. And then you go in these groups and you use their signals and you lose money and you don't understand why. And the reason is your emotions. The problem with 95% of those 95% of traders that lose money is they're emotional traders. They put money they can't afford to lose. They put too much money in a trade. They have no risk management and they get wrecked. You take that aspect away. You say, okay, I'm going to use 10% of my trading pot. I'm going to use this many contracts, for example, and it's going to flip-flop. So if all you're using is Bitcoin, it's going to buy Bitcoin long. It's going to sell Bitcoin short. And it's going to use the same amount of contracts both ways. Do that a whole month. You don't have to do anything. It's really simple. Obviously, you add more pairs and it becomes a little more difficult. But once you see it start to make money, you may actually pay more attention and try something else.
Nice.
But
so the idea here is you had – envision it as kind of an automatic trading bot, and it kind of just plugs into whatever crypto platform, crypto trading exchange you're using.
Yeah. So for example, you have a BitMEX or Deribit account, right? We're going to also add Coinbase Pro. We're adding in Coinbase Pro Kraken so the US can participate easily. We're adding in FTX because I'm friends with Sam. And I really love what they're doing over there. And what was the other one we're going to add in? Bybit. So we're going to have all like all the major ones. Binance I already have, so we just have to update the algo or the have to update the API so it adds into the margin trading as they go on live. We'll add the JEX derivatives and options and all that. All that can be added in. We can even add the next thing on the roadmap after crypto has proven itself. We're going to go into the FX and the legacy markets basically and let people use it there because there's no difference between one and the other. And the other side of it is a lot of the script creators don't want to put their scripts on TradingView because there's issues with TradingView and people can like if you pay for 1 month on a lot of the scripts, the second you don't pay and they kick you off, your alerts will still work as long as they're still sent. So that kind of sucks for the creators. So we're going to also make it so that creators have a way to plug in with Python scripting and just send the alerts and send it to us directly. And we can broadcast them after that to the people that have paid us and they'll all know. We'll be very transparent. That's also on the roadmap. So
yeah,
it's like piece by piece, basically, we're going to add in all these.
Well, yeah. Between your company and the script creators and the people who are buying the signals, it could be a win-win-win. So that's good for everybody.
That's the goal because, you know, someone asked me like, Joel, what are you doing? Like, why do you do this? And I'm like, you know, every time I talk to someone really successful, you ask them like, what drove you to do that? And they don't say like money and they don't say success or fame. They say like, I wanted to provide people value. I wanted to make feel like they have like what I'm doing matters for them and their life is easier. So I figured what better than that to take money off their mindset and give them a little bit of more financial freedom, even if they don't have a lot. You know, if they can get a cheap script, for example, that works, maybe gets 5% a month, they put it on 10x, they could put in a little bit of money every month into that. Our bot's not expensive on its own at all. We're going to charge, it's going to be $29.99. So, I mean, just to use the bot itself is not expensive. It's just about the scripts.
Nice. Because I think if you can get, over 5% a month, that's great. Because I know some people, they're staking their crypto on Celsius and some other staking platforms. But if you can make more trading, it makes sense to either trade yourself or have a bot or something like that. All right. So I'm going to hit you with a FUD question here. I think you wrote, I think you knew about this. I think you had a video about one of the exchanges where there's a glitch and you could buy dirt cheap crypto. Like it was almost free. So when I think about worst case scenario is I imagine like the bot going completely crazy and like selling for super low or buying super high. Like, is there anything that prevents the bot or the script from going off course?
Generally, the way the scripts are made, and it depends on the algo, it all depends on the creator. But the algos generally are built so that if certain conditions alert, they will sell. Now, what happened with BitMEX is that was just completely API driven based off of Amazon's VPS service going down. So it wasn't real, as well as like what happened with Binance this week, getting their price drove down, but it was a glitch. And then we've seen this on Kraken the last 2 weeks. They're having crazy huge scam wicks and stuff, but they're not reflecting on the market. You don't see like liquidation. Like it's not actually happening. So the bots would generally see that, but generally because it's not real, it wouldn't actually affect the market. It's just affecting that API on that exchange. And we haven't noticed in any of those things happening, any of our own personal trades that we've been doing have any effect on them. And we also trade on the highest liquidity exchanges. So we avoid trading on, you know, shitcoin exchanges, you can call it, right? We're trying to focus on high liquidity exchanges so not one person is a bad actor can come on and sell $1 million of a token and just completely destroy a script. And generally, most people that create scripts are using Ethereum and Bitcoin for the most part, Litecoin, XRP. So the amount of money that's in those tokens and coins, it's really hard for you to manipulate. The average person can't really do it. But yeah, that would be a huge issue. I mean, I don't know if you ever remember, I think it was it Black Friday or what was it, where the FX markets had something like that, where they just dropped crazy and people lost like billions of dollars in like minutes. That could happen for sure. But when we talk to these guys, we ask them about that. It's one of the questions in our like onboarding process is, do you have a fail safe, right? I guess it's fine. People can lose money in a trade. That's okay, because if you know your risk going in, you already know what you're going to lose on a bad trade. So let's say, for example, I have, and you know, if your market order doesn't go through, then you're really screwed. But I mean, that would be more of a exchange problem than a you problem.
Yeah.
Like if BitMEX all of a sudden rejected your order because you didn't click the right settings, that's your fault. But a bot won't do that wrong setting. It always is going to sell.
Yeah. Okay. So, interesting. I have another question too. Maybe haven't thought about this, but I know some people are doing this on their phone, like the Atomic Wallet. There's other wallets where you can swap coins in wallet, not on an exchange. So would this bot or this algo also be applicable there? Would that work as well? Or you'd have to do it manually, or how would that work?
Yeah. The problem with it, it's basically like a DEX when you're doing that. It's basically a peer-to-peer type of DEX. So when you use, I don't know, you guys use Trust Wallet. I use Trust Wallet all the time. And I can swap my stuff on Trust Wallet to anything, no problem. But it's doing it through Binance DEX, right? It's doing it through a DEX platform. And the problem with a DEX is you can't automate it because you don't have a stop loss on a DEX. Here's the cool thing about Binance, though. There is a way with crypto. There's I think it's called Crypto Hopper. There are actual market making type bots where you can trade on the DEX. It's difficult, but when we look at doing stuff like that, there's no point. There's no real market for it, and the people that are doing it, like Atomic Wallet, Atomic Pay, Trust Wallet, all these guys already have that market share. And the average users right now are not really – there is no real average users right now. To be completely honest, retail doesn't exist. The market's mostly institutions at this point that are controlling a lot of the price action in terms of what's going on. There are some retail still that it's mostly us that have been in the crypto space. There's not new people being like, hey, Joel, can I buy crypto right now? It did happen in June when it was starting to move, but we don't have a retail market. That's why the market's not blowing up.
Yeah.
What is blowing up is OTC and mining. So the OTC guys right now, like I know Bobby at Cumberland and my buddy Dane at Wonify, and I'm friends with the guys at Almedia. So they tell me like, man, there's like hundreds of millions of dollars of OTC a day, hundreds of millions. And I'm like, what? And then when I was first new to it, I'd be like, how does that not affect the price of crypto? And I said, well, you know, when
it's
I actually
– it's off the books, right? You can't see it on the exchange.
I'm like, in Canada, you can go to a drugstore and you can buy like, you know, weed or something at Shoppers Drug Mart, which is something you can actually do now. But I said like, yeah, that would be on the books. But if you bought weed from your dealer, how the hell does anyone know? Like they don't.
Yeah.
And I said that wouldn't reflect the market price of weed, just like it wouldn't reflect the price of anything. It's just the same concept as black market.
Yep.
And they're like, well, if it's a black market, isn't it bad? I'm like, no, because it's a regulated black market.
Yeah.
But what happens is who is going to buy that crypto they bought? That's what's going to affect the market. And this only comes down to marketing. It comes down to marketing. And so the thing I've said before, XRP was like 30 cents forever. And I said, guys, watch, it's going to pump to 50 cents. It got to 51. I said, when it gets to 50 cents to my guys, I'm selling my bag and I'll rebuy it at the end of October, start of November. And that was like 4 months ago or something. And everyone was like, why October, November? The same reason why they asked me, why April? Why do you think April is going to be a bull run? You said it in March, you said it in January, you said it in February. Why do you think April? And I was like, man, just like, I could see the sentiment in the market. I could see the fact that it was completely dead. And I also started seeing there was a little bit of an up there. It started trending up. And so I had, like, April is going to blow up. And then we had February and March where we saw alts start to move. And I was really sure by end of March we're going to pump. And then like April 2nd, boom.
Nice.
And I feel the same way about it because I know people at GSR and I know some guys that are working in the market making side. And they kind of like don't tell you directly because they're not allowed to. But they're saying like, yeah, pretty much end of October, start of November, there's going to be a lot of marketing for Bitcoin and XRP specifically, and they're going to start pushing it. And once Bitcoin gets to a price where it's over 20K, people are going to look for other stuff and they're going to see XRP, and they know XRP because everyone sees it in the news and CNN and all that shit. And then they're going to buy XRP and they're going to buy other coins that are a little bit cheaper, just psychologically. Still, they'll buy Bitcoin, but not as much. They'll look for something else to get bigger ads, bigger return on investment from.
Yeah, marketing is a huge part of it. I had a question too. I saw you mentioned crypto mining and you interviewed a crypto mining guy on your channel. Has he changed your mind on crypto mining at all? Like, are you thinking about putting a rig in your house to keep you warm on those cold Thai winter nights?
Those cold Thai nights. I don't think we've ever had one of those. But yeah, what's really interesting with mining, like, mining is pretty much dead for alts. I would say for like 98% of alts that were proof of work, pretty much dead. Ravencoin was like the one coin that he was telling me, what is it, from Crypto Easy Mining or whatever. It's been so long since I interviewed him, but he didn't change my mind completely. But, you know, 100 quadrillion pentahashes a second are like, dude, that's more every second. This is a crazy stat. Every single second currently, right now, that we are speaking, there are more pentahashes in crypto on blockchain, on the Bitcoin blockchain, than there are grains of sand in the world. Let that shit sink in for a second. That's huge. And right now, with all these new mining rigs that are coming on, that's going to double. It's going to be two times as much. And that's insane. Like, that shows the power of the network and how many people realize what's coming. And why are they doing it now? Because JP Morgan, all these guys that are investing, they're investing because they realize that when we go to 6.25 per block, those 12 and a half we were getting are going to be worth a lot more.
The halvening.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's move topics here. I know you're big into the TA and you're a big believer. I am too. But just from a fundamental standpoint, can you tell me, are there any projects, coins that you're hot on right now from just a fundamental standpoint? Like, you like tech and whether the chart goes up and down, regardless of what the chart does, you think maybe you're day trading it or trading it over weeks, but you think long term it's a good hold?
Okay. This is a really difficult question in terms of alts, but I can give you my perspective on things that I really like. For example, fundamentally, EOS, as much as some people don't like it, that is the most loved coin in China. And China has 2 billion effing people. And I know people in the US that like EOS, and I know people in Thailand that like EOS. I know people that like EOS all over the place. So I've held EOS since a dollar, and I never sold it at 20, which I kind of regret. I was just silly. I was gonna sell it, and I'm like, nah, it's gonna keep going up.
Hey, Coach K, hodling is never silly in my book.
Yes, it wasn't silly, but I could have bought so much more when we dipped to almost a dollar again.
That's good to hear. I'm definitely that's good to hear, because I'm definitely big into the platform coins. I'm a Ethereum, Cardano, and EOS Moonbag holder. So I've got three horses in the race there when it comes to platform coins. Any other ones you're feeling?
I have some wild card coins people don't know about. And the reason why I really like those projects is because I know stuff that people don't know about the projects, obviously. And I can tell you right now, there are altcoins that have revenue. There are altcoins that have real business. The difference between the coins that I don't like and the coins that I do, the coins I do like have business models that make revenue, and the business drives the token value because people will use it because of their business. The problem with 99% of coins out there and tokens out there is 99% of them think that their token is going to drive the value of their business. And that will wreck you so effing bad.
Yeah, 99% of them are, okay, ICO, airdrop, token burn, another ICO, token burn, airdrop.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. There's good projects that are token burning, which is not a problem to me. There's projects like Energy, which, you know, that hit like $10 and it's completely only an airdrop. They only did that. There's projects that I'm working with, like, well, not working with, but a super hardcore believer in terms of UND, where they've created all these different blockchain integrations for real businesses that are super simple and Python code. And you could be a business and a couple of days later have your own blockchain set up on a work chain. And, you know, their market cap was what, like 1.5 million or something like that, 2 million. And they have real business already. NDA is signed already. Like, stuff is going on. People like projects like that that purposely didn't raise a lot of money when they could have, you know, with great leadership and real business. Those are the ones I'm starting to look at. And I don't care about the price. Like, someone asked me the other day, they're like, man, but UND was like 12 cents at one point, and then it went to 1.8 or whatever. And I said, I bought a crap load at 1.8. I bought more at 2.2. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because I believe in this project. And not only that, I also trade it and I get more for free, right? So it goes down to 2 cents. It goes, pumps to 3.5. I sell half my bag. I buy more. It pumps to like 5 cents. I buy more. I sell it. And then when it drops, I buy more. And I did this for like 3-4 months. Not to the point where I could affect the token supply or affect the price, but just doing little bits at a time to just kind of slowly stack my chips. And because I believe in that project so much, I'm doing it because I want to be a master staker on their network. Then there's another project called Sharing. No one knows about these guys, but they are holding back some news that I know is massive, with like companies that have hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue and are partnered with them already on paper. There's actually, I think they, when I met with Tim Boss, the CEO, he was telling me them that they have three massive, massive deals. And I asked him, I said, how come you're not saying anything? Just out of my own curiosity, he said, why would I say something now?
What's the project called? Sharing?
Sharing, yeah. It's Sharing with S-H-A-R-E-I-N-G, Sharing. Like, you're sharing your car, you're sharing your ride, you're sharing food. I don't, like, Sharing, yeah.
Okay.
It's a project where I know for a fact they have revenue, and I know for a fact they have real partnerships, and they're not going, hey guys, we have partnerships. There's another one. It's kind of a left curveball one, but this one has a partnership with a Canadian company with 130 million users on paper with a $5 million investment. This company, the Canadian company, did a press release. And when the CEO came to me and said, what should I do? Because he's traditional. He created tech for Google and all the car companies and stuff before he got into this. He asked me, what should I do, Joel? And I was like, man, you're not going to like the answer. But I said, do nothing. He said, what? And I said, just keep developing stuff. Just keep building. So if you go and you sell people what you guys have signed up with, like who it is and which company it is and all stuff, you're just going to bring attention to your coin to pump and dump it. And don't do that right now. Wait for the alt season to really, truly come. Then have more announcements lined up and just kind of every week by week announce it. And I've told this to 4 different ICO companies I've worked with. And they all think I'm crazy, but they're taking the advice and they see that it's smarter, because when the alt season really is here, for whatever coins actually see pumps, because not all of them will, 90%. And this is another thing. My partner, he was like, he's a developer, right? And he was saying like, Joel, you know, he was really like upset about this industry. And I said to him, have you ever invested in anything before? Like, have you ever invested in anything other than crypto? And he's like, no, but I invested in myself. I'm like, no. Have you invested in a company before? I said, do you know what the risk is to invest in a startup? It's 95% of them die. 90 to 95%. And then if you take scams in crypto, we're looking at 98%, maybe 99. And I said, if you got that 1%, you're getting a 10x, 100x, whatever it was in 2017. Now, if you're looking to invest, you're investing in projects that you believe in for the long term, because they have real products and they're really providing use case or something of value to real companies. Another one I'm involved with, and I've been helping out a little bit, is Ferrum Network. So if you've watched, you probably see my channel, you'd see that I've done a lot of like AMAs and interviews with the CEO, Ian Friend. And I just really like they're really actually on the ground solving banking the unbanked problem. They raised only $1 million in their ICO. They didn't do it through the scam IEOs that are happening. And the reason why I call scamming IEOs is because if you want, you can ask me after this, what is a scam IEO? And I'll explain to you how they actually work, really. Because you'll be surprised unless you already know. But this pretty snippet is Ian raised $1 million and $350,000 was raised through PrimaBlock as an ICO. Not through an IEO, not through an ICO, through PrimaBlock, where they actually knew who was investing, basically, how much they could invest, everything. So that was a really interesting take because they know the real money was there. And I'm calling it real money there because I'll explain why, how IEO is actually working in a second.
Nice. I was going to ask you about price prediction, but you lined that one up for me. So I'm going to ask you, what is a scam IEO?
Okay. All right. So I don't know if you know this, but Harmony, for example, on Binance never raised what they said they raised or what Binance said they raised. And you know what's really funny is all the IEOs, the reason why they dump afterwards is because the way IEOs work, and this is going to be surprising to some of you guys listening because you probably don't believe me, but it's true. IEOs work like this. I'm a company. Let's say I'm Parlin. I go to Binance and I'm like, all right, I want to raise $6 million. Binance says, great, you're going to raise $600,000. And you said, no, I want to raise $6 million. They said, yeah, you're going to raise $600,000. And they're like, what do you mean? And like, well, you're really going to only raise $400,000. And they're going, huh? What the exchanges are doing is, and this is not, it's not a shot at any exchange. This is why they have to do it. It's the only way to actually do this. They bring the projects in. The projects want to do it, and they do their IEO. And whatever they say they raise 10% of the actual money. So if you come to, you know, OKX, and you're like, I want to raise $4 million in my IEO, you're really raising $400,000, maybe even less than that in real money. And what the exchange does is goes and buys it all up. So I don't know if you've ever noticed that when they do IEOs, they sell out in a second. That's not real. That's not real. That's the exchange buying 95% of those tokens and letting some people get them. And they do that on purpose. And I think CZ kind of fixed it a little bit. And that's why Parlin kind of shit the bed, because what they do after that is they say, whatever you raise, then you need to market make and buy your own tokens. So what you see is after the projects list, they have to, by contract, buy all their own tokens. So it's basically a marketing ploy. They market their own project by doing an IEO, and it gets a lot of hype and people buy in after the fact, and they get wrecked because they buy in at the wrong time. The only one IEO that I think really did well was Matic Network, and it's because Binance Labs itself has invested, and so has Coinbase, and it was in their best interest for them to do well. I also really like Matic, and I've actually interviewed them before. I've interviewed Sandy. I think great. I love what they're doing. So this is what an IEO is. If you don't think it's true, go start an ICO, go start a company, and go talk to any exchange out there. All going to do it exactly the same.
Coach K, I believe you. I've had some deals where
we definitely believe you.
Where they've my compensation has been in the token, and they've, you know, delayed the payment, and it's completely dumped on the market, and I'm getting a fraction of what I thought I was going to get. So trust me. I don't know if we've said this on the channel enough before, but if you're new to the crypto space, or even if you're not new, I'd be very wary of ICOs and IEOs. People thought that IEOs were safer and better, but from what you've said and what I've heard from other people, they're not.
They're not, no. I mean, they're great for flipping. My goodness, they're great for flipping. If you get those, not now. Lately, it's been not so much. I think Banning Protocol is really sick, though, because one of my friends in Thailand has been helping them for quite a while. And I think they actually have a good project. But will they raise $6 million? I don't know. Like, I think there's been demand for this lottery, and that could help drive it. But I don't know if there's that much demand for $6 million to be raised in real money. And this is not a shot at CZ. He's got a business to run, and people need to make money. So I don't blame him. You know, he got put on under the microscope in terms of, people saying like, hey, like you're gonna have to shut down this U.S. investment, and that's 40% of their volume. That's a lot of their money that was taken out of circulation. And then now going with Binance U.S., they only have like six pairs, so it's rough. But if you look at those six pairs, this is a really interesting correlation. You look at the six pairs that are going online in Binance, and you look at the six pairs that are pumping right now, mostly, they're mostly the ones that are going on Binance US. It's kind of interesting, honestly, just to think about that.
Well, it's retail. You've got to think, like, what you talked about this earlier. Retail is where we're all hoping that the retail investors get back in.
Yeah.
That's what really surging the market. And the IEOs were kind of this type of second attempt at trying to get retail reinvigorated and revitalized, but there just wasn't the interest overall in the market. So just to transition into another question that I definitely want to get answered, because we always ask these questions to our guests. And they're just friendly questions. It's just kind of like a lottery, really. It's rather than anything serious. But you being someone who's a fan of technical analysis, I think that maybe you've got even down to the exact dollar amount. In 2020, what is the Bitcoin high and what do you think is going to be the low? Because just for full transparency, we did this on episode 3 of our podcast, which is called Crypto Predictions. I predicted that the low for Bitcoin would be $6,000 and the high will be in the region of $80,000 to $85,000 for BTC price, high low in 2020. What are your thoughts, Joel? I'd love to hear more from Coach K.
All right. Well, I think in the shorter term, when we do break that all-time high, we're going to hit in the $35,000 range, and then we're going to dip. And very likely we will get to the, I'm looking more at 50K as a reasonable number in terms of the high. And then very likely a correction of maybe 75 to 80%, which would make us in around $10,000 to $12,000 in 2020. I would say our really, my range is about 50K to 100, 10 to 50K, 50K first, and then having a huge correction. But this is the thing that you also have to take in consideration. And this is the fundamental side, is with all those institutions and banks and people that have invested into Bitcoin, would it be in their interest to let it drop that much ever again? That's something you also have to take in consideration. So for it to get down to 6K, I don't think, honestly, and this is still possible to happen, but I don't think we'll see 6K again. It's just like when people said we'll see $200 again. We never saw it again after it went. And I don't think we'll ever see it again. Not saying 6K is not impossible to see again. I just think that unless we have a flash crash, we won't see 6K again. And I don't think we'll see it in 2020 at all with the halving. Generally, the way it works is we get close to the halving, we dip, and then we go even higher right after. And so it's very likely by December 2020, we'll be in a halfway through our next bull run. I think currently we're technically in a bull run, especially for Bitcoin, even though it's only at 10K. I expected it to be 10K at the end of the year. So this was a very nice surprise. And my birthday was the all-time high actually for the year. So that was pretty cool.
We've seen that with all the halvenings, that people kind of front run the halvening and it kind of dips and then people buy back in.
Litecoin, the same thing. I told everybody, this is the craziest shit ever. Go to a chart, look up 40 to 45 days before last Litecoin's happening, and then look up 40, 45 days before this one. I told people, get out of Litecoin 40 to 45 days. I drew a nice vertical line on my chart, said this is the day. On that exact vertical line was the all-time high of the year we had this year at 136 or whatever it was. You literally see the top was on that line, that daily chart line. And I was like, people are like, how did you know? I'm like, dude, I didn't. It's just, I know history repeats itself and people are pretty gullible. They'll look at it and go, we're going to get in. And it's funny because with things like, I don't know if you guys played the forks in 2017, early 2018. Well, I made stupid money from those forks because I knew psychologically people were going to buy it at the end to get free coins when I was buying it 30 to 45 days before and selling it every week, a little bit every week until we got closer to that. And then I dumped all of it right before and people would just buy it at $2, for example, at NXT. And then you dumped on it was like 35, 40 cents again. So it's just funny. If you plan, the thing about techno analysis is it's a plan. It's like you can be the casino or you can be the player. Over time, you can definitely you can get on a table on blackjack, put down $20,000, put it all in and win $20,000 and get up and walk away. How many people get up and walk away? Not very many. So trading.
I like it. I like the mix of psychology with the technical analysis. You're not just looking at the charts and thinking, okay, picking a number. You're also using the fundamentals in your trades, which is great. So that's
because I'm normally a fundamentals guy. Just naturally, I look at what's going on in the market. I analyze, like a market analyst, what's happening in all the markets. Like I've done videos on like our last mini stock market crash. I called that. I said, you know, we're probably going to have this mini stock market crash. I thought we would crash even harder when we had that huge dip in this S&P, but like, it's really funny that we came back. Trump was pretty much mostly why that happened, but we had a huge dip and everyone was like, man, the VIX erased 5 years of my gains and all stuff. And I was like, literally in August of 2018, I was telling people like, we're going to have this huge dip. It's coming. And it did. And people, how do you know? The thing is, I don't. That's the thing. I'm not going to say like, oh, I'm this crypto guru or guru of markets. I'm not. It's just I see what's going and I line things up and I go, this is my risk assessment. And if you start doing that as anyone, it doesn't matter what you're investing in. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you look at all the risks that you're taking and going, well, the risk or the reward is not as good, don't go and do that. And if you're in stocks and you were up 300% over 4 years, which is really good, you know, I was telling one of my friends, a buddy from the UK, he asked me, he had 150k in all the FANG stocks, and he asked me, what should I do? And I was like, man, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, but if it was me, I would sell 85% of them. And he was like, are you sure? I'm like, dude, if I had that exact amount of money, I would sell 85% of them. They're all time highs. He's like, all right, cool. Sold all of them. He's like, man, you saved me like $30,000. I'm like, I didn't save you shit. You just listened to what I would do. You know, I'm just a normal guy. I didn't have $150,000 of FANG stocks. But he was like, man, now I can buy them all back. And so, and then he bought them back. And now look at Google, all-time high. Amazon's reaching its next all-time high. So he's been like really doing well. And, you know, I don't take credit for that. I just told him like what I would personally do, you know. And I think that the best traders I know, like one of my buddies on Twitter, Captain Cole Zorhan, he's 24 years old. He's like the most humble trader I've ever met. Not a shit. He doesn't talk shit to people. He's like a really nice guy. And he's really about education. And I really, when I connected with him, I really like I had a really good connection with him. And I was like, you know, I really like and respect you because you keep it real. You say what you see and you teach people. You don't just let them make mistakes and then laugh at them like most people. You're actually helping them. And so, yeah, I learned some stuff from him as well, even though he's a lot younger than me. Doesn't matter. It's just a game of being humble. And, you know, I've seen him make $1 million in a few months before and him post it and be very transparent. And, you know, you see that and you go, okay, like this guy is so humble. And, you know, that's what you need in this space. This space is full of like, look at me on crypto Twitter. Look at me on crypto Twitter.
Yeah. I think that's good.
This is awesome, man.
Even if you're smart, you got to be humble and you also got to try and learn from other people. I think, some people, you know, we see a lot of weak hands in the crypto space. You know, people are trying to get shook out of the market. And, you know, I'm pretty good at hodling, but I think I need to work on, you know, locking in my gains and not, you know, hodling my moon bags to the floor. You know, like my friends call me the hodl warrior, but sometimes I got to lock in my gains and not just hodl till 2030.
What you got to realize, this is the thing that most people screw up when they're trading and they're starting out. They sell their whole entire bag when they hit their target and they don't keep any free roll. And it's like, it's not gambling. It's just being, it's like, let's say you get into a trade and you're up 50% and you sell 75% of your bag. You're basically free rolling the last little bit, right? If what happens if that continues going up like ETH just did? ETH hit my target and then it kept going. And instead of me selling my whole bag at 195, I sold 25% and now it's 204. And I'm like, sweet, like that's free money. I didn't do anything. It's just a trade that kept going well. And what do I do with that other 75%? When we have a huge pullback, I have all this extra money to buy into ETH again or buy into another cryptocurrency when it comes less and I have more. So I get more cryptocurrency for the next trade and I can compound it. And the thing is, I'm not taking a lot more risk. And if it doesn't get down to that level, I'll just invest it in something else and then that will go up. So, or it'll short it when it comes back down. And so you don't have to do that with a lot of your risk. The problem is people want to get rich really quick. It's more of a mindset game and a more of a psychological game than it is actually a skill. You don't have to be Michael Jordan to be a good trader. You know, you don't have to be the Michael Jordan of trading. You don't have to sit there and, you know, train for 6 hours a day. You have to train your mind. You have to train what you're seeing and not make stuff up in your head. But when it comes to actually making good trades, it's just look at the chart, see what it tells you, make a move, you know? And the problem with most people is when it comes to make a move, they go, but what happens if this happens? What happens if Bitcoin pumps and then I'll have less Bitcoin? Or what happens if then? I'm like, dude, don't trade your whole entire bag. Yeah. Like, you have 10 Bitcoin. Let's say, or five, take half of a Bitcoin and start trading with it. It's like 5K. You know, and if you're doing really well, and that's great, that can be a risk. You can keep the rest and hodl it. It's all good. But if you turn that 0.5 into five Bitcoin, sweet. Take two of those Bitcoins and put that in your hodl bag and still trade three.
Yeah, that's one mistake I've never done that I know other people have is like, yeah, if I have, you know, a few Bitcoin and it goes up high, you know, maybe just, you know, just sell 20%, 25%. Yeah. You don't have to go all in. And I think your advice is really good. You know, look at the chart, look at what the chart tells you. But I think I have even better advice. Look at your trading bot and see what that tells you. Just let it work for you.
Well, man, like results speak for themselves.
That's a good one.
That was a good one.
Great link. And I think that the show notes here are going to be a really, really long, references that you've added. It's good though. Like, you've added so much value. It's been awesome so far. Thank you so far. It's been awesome.
Maybe we should wrap it up. We've done well over an hour, but I think we'd love to have you on again. We learned a lot about trading, and in the show notes, we'll put your bio, your YouTube, all that stuff.
I've got one more question before we ask it out.
Let's go ahead.
Hit it, Josh.
And that is gold or Bitcoin the true store of value in the next financial crash?
Well, this is a pretty obvious question, isn't it? What I can tell you is I've had this conversation four times in the last 2 weeks. And this conversation always goes to someone saying to me, well, you can't spend Bitcoin. And I said, how many fucking times have you gone to Bitcoin? All right. And how many times have you gone to a vault, picked up that gold and brought it home with you? They're like, but you can make stuff. I'm like, yeah, you can make a ring, but with a bar of gold, how many rings do you really need? How many bracelets and necklaces are you going to make with a bar of gold? What else can you use gold for, really? And they're like, and I'm like, exactly. Now, Bitcoin, can you carry it with you? They're like, no, you can't hold it. I'm like, I can hold Bitcoin all I want. It's right here in my hand. I have a Trezor. Great. I can go anywhere with it. Oh, if I lost it, no problem. I got my crypto steal. Great. No problem. So what's the problem? You know? And they're like, and so what's going to be the store value? They're both going to be a store value. But what will hold more value over time? One thing that someone said to me was like, there's only so much gold. And I said, really? Do you know how much gold they mine every single year out of the earth? And they were like, I don't know. I'm like, I think it's about 100,000 tons or something ridiculous that they mine out of the earth every single year. Like, it's a shit ton. I think there's like 500,000 tons or something in the world right now, something along those. Like, it's just a stupid amount of gold. And I said, how much of that actually do people use? It sits in a freaking bank and does nothing. It's just there. It's backing currencies that we keep printing money out over and over again, and it's worthless. So the true store of value is both, but over time, because of scarcity and because of stock to flow ratio, Bitcoin will definitely be a mainstay. And it's proven by looking at the numbers in the banks, by looking at who is actually investing, and by listening to people like Kevin O'Leary in 2013 saying that he bought Bitcoin because it's a real asset and it's a $1 billion asset. So that means it's real. And then listening to him against Pomp saying, at $8,000, Bitcoin is not a real thing. But why is he saying that? It's because he knows it's legit. He knows. He knew long, long before. And this is why you listen with your eyes, not with your ears, because what they say on TV and stuff is usually the opposite of what they're actually doing, especially when you talk to the funds. You talk to a fund and you really know the guys in it, and they're like, yeah, man, we got freaking so much Bitcoin. We've invested like – we have 5,000 Bitcoin in our fund, you know? And you're like, oh, really? Oh, do you tell people that? They're like, no, you know, they're not going to tell you that. But you got like, you know, Bakkt and Greystone and Blackwater and BlackRock and you know, who else is there that's invested like heavily in Bitcoin? You know, Aris TD Ameritrade. Why are they all getting involved if this is not the future? And the less you stop looking, the less you look at the price, and the less you look at just daily day-to-day stuff, and the more you realize long term, the more your brain is going to light up and go, okay, I'm starting to get it. And it took me years, man. My friends told me in 2010, 2011, 2013 when I finally got in, but I could have literally been a billionaire. Like, my friend was like, man, he was getting like 50 Bitcoin every few days. He was just doing it on his Dell computer. You know, the funny story about him, I'm not going to name him because he'll feel bad because we always make fun of him, but he bought a $50,000 car and like a shit ton of weed. And he was like, I'm cashing out Bitcoin. No bullshit. I sort of got it. He bought it for, he had 3,000 Bitcoin. And he cashed it out for a car and weed when it was around like $200 or something.
YOLO.
YOLO. Well, yeah, he had good fun, you know. But it's just stuff like that where like he was like, man, I bought it. He basically mined. It was free money. So $60,000 of free money. It was hard for him to hold it, I guess. But you know, he still got back in. He still has maybe like a few hundred now, but he would have been just stupid, filthy rich if he didn't ever spend it. But he did exactly what you're supposed to do, spend friggin' Bitcoin. So that was the point of it. And now the point of it is a store of value. It's not going to be the thing you walk into the store with and, you know, spend. My vision for Bitcoin is people will hold it. And when they want to buy a house or a car or something that's expensive, they're going to use Bitcoin. It doesn't matter if it's slow. It won't matter because people, not that many people are going to use it day to day. But you're going to trade it up for something that's easy to use. It won't be a stable coin because eventually fiat currencies are all going to crash and burn. We all know it's happening. We all know it's outdated. Currency systems only last about 80, 90 years. And, you know, the dollar is pretty much at its end of its life cycle. So something else has to take over, whether it be a stable coin, whatever you want to call it. Something else will take over and they're going to have to kind of figure that out. But, you know, Bitcoin will back and gold will back real currencies eventually at that point. And nice. I think that they're both going to be stores of value. Same with, like, you know, all the other silver and silver and what's it called? Platinum and palladium, radium. I think it's radium. All these other metals will back and be worth a lot more over time because they have value. But yeah, I guess that's pretty much my prognosis on, you know, the future. And a lot of people tell me like I'm retarded, honestly. I bet a few people recently be like, you're a friggin' idiot, you don't know shit. And I'm like, dude, like, people told that to Steve Jobs. They said that to Bill Gates. Why? Because they were visionaries. They saw what's going to come. You have to be. And like, even my wife, she's like, I don't get this shit. It's so stupid. And I'm like, and I always tell her, I'm like, I know that it's hard right now, but in 2021, if whatever is supposed to happen happens, even a half of whatever happens, I'll be like, hey, babe, you know those few Bitcoins that I bought you, they're worth like $500,000. It should be like, oh, okay, I guess I forgive you. You know what I mean? Like, it'll all be worth it in the end.
I love that. I love that that whole 10 minutes there, however long that was. They always say, like, you know, you can build things with gold, you can't build things with Bitcoin. But Coach K, I'm going to have to disagree with you there, because every 10 minutes, we can take those blocks and cryptographically secure them into a blockchain. We can take those blocks and make a blockchain. And I know I'd rather have a blockchain around my neck than a gold chain around my neck, for real.
Oh, baller. You got that big B on his neck. Like my buddy Bitcoin man, Herbert, man. You got that big B Bitcoin thing that he got on his neck. He's a boss, though. Bitcoin man is a boss. I love it. He's
awesome. Hard.
Day with him, man. He's good. Yeah. He's a good
well,
dude.
Honestly, I don't think we could end the show better than with what you just had there. So, Josh, you have any last comments or questions? And then we'll let Coach K get the last word.
Yeah, for sure. I'll say thanks for coming on, Joel. It was a pleasure to meet you again. And it's great to have you on the show. Hopefully, you can have you on in a few months' time after you've launched your product and we can, you know, promote your product a little bit more.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man.
Nice. Well, that was it. Yeah, again, thanks to Coach K for coming on the episode today. And until next time, I'm probably going to be using the automatic trading bot while I'm orbiting. the dark side.
The dark side of the Hoddle Moon.
Thank you for joining us on Dark Side of the Hoddle Moon. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. Also, be sure to join our Telegram group, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on BitChute and YouTube, where you can find all the episodes as well as highlights from previous episodes. You can also visit us at darksideofthehoddlemoon.com.
Hoddle Moon!